The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you so much for joining us today on this lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. It is good to be with you to study one more time a little bit about the life of Jesus and try to understand lessons that we should apply to our lives today. As apprentices of Jesus, we have a motto. Something that we look for, that we try to accomplish. And here is the motto for Jesus' apprentices. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the motto for Jesus' apprentices. And we want to leave that every single day. That is our goal. Loving God, loving our neighbor, and love ourselves. Well, on this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, we have a memory verse for the week. That's right. Every week, from the portion that we'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, we choose one Bible verse, a Bible verse that we repeat every single day, so we can memorize that Bible verse and put that in our hearts. So the Bible verse for this week is, "For the word of God will never fail." Luke 1:37. We studied this verse yesterday. For the word of God will never fail. Can you repeat after me? For the word of God will never fail. That's beautiful. That's the assurance that God gives us to us, that He'll fulfill His word. Well, today we'll be studying the time that Mary visits Elizabeth. But before we go and read, I think, 6 verses today, I want to invite you to come in the presence of the Lord in prayer and prepare ourselves to meet the Lord in His Word. Because we know that God is always available, waiting for us. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. That is the assurance that we have, that God is available. He's waiting for you, for me, to approach Him. And as we come to the Bible, as we come in prayer, as we seek the Lord, He's waiting for us. He knows when we are coming, and He has something reserved for us, a gift for us. And that is so beautiful. And my question for you is, what is the gift that God has reserved for you today? Well, I want to discover that. But before, let's prepare ourselves. I'll give you 1 minute for you to prepare yourself, short prayer, and then we'll come to the Word of God and try to listen God's voice for us today. Let's seek the Lord at this moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings, and thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before the throne of grace. The most important blessing that we are looking for today, it's your presence, to experience you and feel your loving arms and presence. So Lord, manifest yourself in a mighty way to us today. Bless us as we read this portion today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, here we are, Luke chapter 1. Verses 39 and 40 to 45. That is our portion, our segment for today. So I start with verse 39, and I'll try to read a few verses or a line and try to explain and point out a few things that for me are relevant for our journey. So Luke 1:39. A few days later. Let's stop here. So Luke is making the connections with the previous account. What happened in the previous account? Well, Mary was visited by angel Gabriel in Nazareth. And Gabriel shares with Mary that she would be the mother of a Messiah, of the Messiah. And we studied that yesterday. And if you have not heard or watched it, please go and listen to that perspective. So a few days after that visit of Gabriel's, the angel Gabriel, after a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. Let's stop here. Mary, after a few days of receiving the angel, she goes in a journey. She goes to the hills of the country of Judea. Well, where? Who lives there? She went to the Zechariah's house. If you remember, in previous episodes, we studied that Zechariah was a priest. He was old in age, and unfortunately, he couldn't bear or have kids with her wife, or with his wife, Elizabeth. But an angel, Gabriel again, comes to him and says, "You'll be the father of a baby, and this baby has a special role and purpose to prepare the way for the Messiah." So Mary is running to that place because Mary was related to Elizabeth and Zechariah. But one point that is very important for us to keep in mind is that the angel, when was announcing to Mary the baby and how she'll get pregnant, even though she was a virgin, the angel mentioned to Mary as a way of proof, as a way of evidence, hey, by the way, your relative, Elizabeth, she's pregnant. Even though she could not conceive, God performed a miracle and she's pregnant. And the same way that God made that miracle and she's pregnant, God is able to make you pregnant as well. Because there's nothing impossible for God. The word of God will not fail. That's our memory verse. So the Elizabeth's pregnancy was a evidence that everything the angel told Mary would happen. So Mary is running to Elizabeth, to her house. Well, we're talking around 120 kilometers, 3 to 4 days of a long journey. We don't know if Mary shared with her parents or her relatives in Nazareth about her encounter with the angel. And if she shared, probably was difficult for them to grasp everything. That lady, that small girl, as I mentioned yesterday, Mary probably was between 12 to 13, maybe latest 16, the oldest one, right? But probably 12 to 13, that was the time that girls will get engaged at the time. So she receives an angel, a visit of angel. So can you imagine your child come to you, say, I saw angel. I say, yeah, sure, yeah, I know you saw angel. Well, but Mary saw it. And now she says, okay, and the angel came and said to me that I will be pregnant. I say, okay, yeah, you'll be married. No, the angel said I'll be pregnant before marriage. Imagine the parents or whatever, right? Oh, and by the way, the baby will be the Messiah, the promised one. You know, we have been waiting for more than 2,000 years for the Messiah. Yeah, he's coming, and I'm the one. I don't know if Mary felt compelled to share. As a little child, maybe she was afraid. And even though if she shared, maybe she struggled with the reaction of people. If there was someone that could understand her and support her, was Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth had went through the same experience in a sense that she was blessed by a miracle. We know that Elizabeth's pregnancy was from Zachariah, right? Zachariah was the father of John, the baby John that Elizabeth was carrying. But even though it was a miracle because she could not conceive throughout her life and has her days of bearing a child had passed and now she's carrying. It's a miracle. So Mary knows that, hey, if there's someone that will understand me and support me, will be Isabel. And as I go to Isabel, she's the one as well that if she's pregnant, and I believe that Mary believed, but that will be evidence that everything will come true. And also, Mary would be in contact of someone that was preparing to have a baby. She had a model to follow. Okay, how I care? How should I do? She could share and learn from Isabel. So her trip to the house of Zachariah was important for her in so many levels. So she starts this journey, 3-4 days, and she's in a hurry. She wants to get there. And I can imagine her practicing her lines or even thinking, okay, how should I approach Elizabeth? How should I say, how should I share with her that I know that she's pregnant and tell her that, hey, I was visited by an angel. The angel said I'll be carrying a baby and this baby is the Messiah. How can I share? Like, can you imagine? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I have, let's say, critical conversations, I prepare myself. I try to think about what I will say, think about the possibilities of reaction and how I will react if the person reacts in that way or different way. So I'm prepared. I know that's a sign of anxiety and I have a great level of that. But anyhow, Elizabeth was the one that could understand, support Mary. So Mary is in a hurry to get there. And then comes verse 40, the second part. Mary, she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. After a few days, she gets there. She goes inside of the house and greet her. We don't know. Maybe say, hey, Mary. Hey, Elizabeth, here's Mary. How are you? Hey, Mary. Hey, Elizabeth. Here I am. I don't know what she said. How are you? I'm here, right? Shalom. I don't know what she said, but she greeted her, right? Verse 41. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth, she hears, based on the sound, maybe she was not looking at the door. She turns as she hears a voice, but at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. two actions happen here. As Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, Mary's greeting, Elizabeth, the baby that Elizabeth was carrying, was agitated. And the Bible verse will give you more information about that later. He was agitated. I remember when Rebecca was pregnant of Olivia and Christopher later, and how the babies would get agitated when they would hear the voice of mommy or myself or some close relative. It's beautiful. I cannot understand that completely, right? And maybe you are watching and you have had a baby before. You can understand what Elizabeth is happening here. But what is interesting, that was the first time that the baby John on Elizabeth's womb was hearing the voice of Mary. So his reaction is a work of the Holy Spirit. And that is described because the Holy Spirit takes Elizabeth and the baby at that moment. And the Bible continues. Verse 42. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary. She shouted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" Wow. You know, Mary was waiting to find how Elizabeth would react to her news. She was waiting to see if Elizabeth was pregnant, how it was going. And everything that Mary was struggling or maybe trying to find the words to express to Elizabeth, Elizabeth shares on her first lines, "I know you're pregnant. And I know you're carrying the baby. The baby that is holy is the Messiah, is the Lord." Wow. Can you imagine how Mary felt? The comfort, the support, how well she felt when she heard that. You see, Mary was visited by the angel in Nazareth with an important message. And now another angel encourages and supports that same message as Mary visited Elizabeth. God was preparing already Elizabeth to share what Mary needed to hear. "Mary, you don't need to tell me. I know. The Holy Spirit has revealed to me." It's one more evidence. It's one more way of God saying, "I am in control. I'm here. I'm supporting you, Mary. Don't be afraid." That is so beautiful. And then comes verse 43. "Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" Then verse 44. "When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." The baby reacted in a joyful way. And some scholars mention that probably was the first prophecy or work of John the Baptist, welcoming in joy Jesus Christ, the one that was in Mary. That is beautiful. So the Holy Spirit takes Elizabeth and takes the baby John and reacts and affirms Mary and her mission, her purpose, and her destiny in God's plan. You see, the two babes coming together, Jesus and John, they will meet later and we'll study that. But it's just this important moment for the account that Luke wants us to pay attention. And then Elizabeth finishes saying, "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Wow. She even knew the reaction of Mary due to that great announcement by the angel. Remember, Elizabeth's husband, Zachariah, he didn't believe. He asked for an evidence, right? A proof that, yeah, that Elizabeth will get pregnant. And the proof that was given, okay, you will not speak. So Zachariah was not able to speak at the time. But Mary, that young lady, she was able to believe on what the angel said. And here we have the two ideas of true belief is understanding and trusting. Understanding, believing, and trusting. And that comes together. And Mary had that experience of trusting and believing. What a powerful Bible verse. So many aspects for us to consider. God is at work. He's preparing people for our needs. He uses people, events, and circumstances to shape us. And here he's waiting. He is preparing this encounter to support the needs and the reality of Mary. That's so powerful. And what I can tell you as well, that God is preparing someone for you as well, an event and circumstance that will speak to your needs. And you need to pay attention. And sometimes those answers to prayers, those words of encouragement that you are not expecting, come in a way that is unexpectedly, right? It is special. And it's so good to see God at work on that way. And God is work in your life. And you need to believe in that. But for me, I think one main lesson that I'm taking today, for myself today, is how important for us is to have a support group. You see, Mary needed someone that could understand her, relate to her, support her. And Isabel was the best fit, a role model, more mature, understanding somehow because went through similar experience. It is important for us to have a support group for us to navigate the challenges and the issues of life. And God was preparing a support group for Mary through Elizabeth. And that is so important for us to understand, that we need also a support group. And more than ever, the COVID pandemic has brought so many issues with it. Not just the physical and the pandemic itself, that is terrible, but other aspects, mental health. One of the things that we see increase during the pandemic is people taking their own lives, depression, and many other aspects, emotional related, mental health related. So at these moments, we need someone that can understand us. But sometimes we don't like to share. We don't like to make ourselves vulnerable. We don't like to ask for help. We usually like to be in control or show that we have all together, but we don't. Nobody does. Everyone needs someone to support and help. And I share that like from a personal experience. For me, it is hard to share with someone some of the issues, personal or related to ministry. And I'm so glad that the last couple of years, God has raised or present to me a support group among a few good friends that are pastors as well, that understand what we go through and some of the challenges. And even though we don't share details, we can share some of the burdens that we carry. And it is good because they understand, because they go through the same experience. And these days I have been relying more and more on this supportive group, because they can get it, because we can relate. And somehow you need to find a support group for you. A support group that God has prepared already, that will give the right people with the right words and a message of encouragement, so you can keep going and don't give up. It's through this community, this support group, that God works shaping us according to the image of God. That's the reason the community, it is so crucial for us. True community, where you can be vulnerable, where you can open yourself, where you can be yourself. And sometimes we know that the devil wanted to destroy that. And somehow we need to preserve and try to find places where we feel safe. Safe to be ourselves. Safe to have someone speaking to our lives, encourage one, to be used by God. And that's beautiful. Elizabeth was used by God because she allowed herself to be used by God. And you can be used by God if you allow yourself to be used by God. And I can be used by God if I allow myself to be used by God. And I tell every day before I start this journey with you here, I pray, so Lord, help me put the words in my mouth. You know, English is not my first language, and sometimes I struggle to communicate my thoughts. But I do believe that at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit take this message and translate to you. But I'm praying that God can use me to bless you. And I do not know what time you're watching or where you're watching. Maybe you're watching live right now. Maybe you're from my community that I serve as a pastor. Maybe you're, I don't know, from a place far away from here. I know that God has a plan for you. He loves you and He wants to speak to you. And He wants to say to you, don't give up. There is nothing impossible for God. So hang in there. So, do you have a support group? Are you brave enough to be vulnerable and ask for help? That's one of the main lessons that I'm taking today from this study. And I pray that you do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for the blessings, for this account, and how you prepare a safe place for Mary where she could have support for carrying Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. Bless everyone that is listening to my voice. And help us to find, or better saying, discover the support group that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Here are the questions for you to reflect. Every day we leave those questions with you. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has, let's say, God loved and served in this account? How should I love and serve according to God's example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Try to answer those questions. Try to reflect those questions. Maybe you can journal and write down your questions. Maybe you can share notes and thoughts with someone. But remember, God is at work in your life. And He will bring people to encourage you. The right words for you to hear. Just make yourself available to God's voice, to God's impression, and God's work. May God bless you abundantly. And I hope to see you tomorrow as we continue this journey in the Gospel of Luke.
experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.